Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
8:38 on this Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. This is your Sunday Spin. I'm here in the Allstate Skyline studio, 18 floors above the Chicago River on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. And joining me now on the phone is Democratic State Senator Andy Menar from Bunker Hill. Senator Menar, one of the leading spokesmen regarding education funding, also working on capital funding as well. Senator Menar, as always, thank you for joining us this morning.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Rick.
I wanted to talk to you about, there's so much to talk about, but first and foremost, though, I wanted to talk to you about the issue of capital funding and infrastructure funding. And a lot of the focus, and we've talked about it on the program before, a lot of the focus, of course, has been on road and bridge repair, those kinds of things. But there's also what's being called, you know, vertical infrastructure. And the buildings, state facilities, local schools, all of those kinds of things, there are also in a great deal of need. To me, it looks like doing a road repair plan is easier to do because of the lockbox amendment and transportation funding and the gas tax, where there it has to be dedicated to highway improvement. But it's the vertical infrastructure funding that seems to me to be a big question mark. And how does that get taken care of?
Well, I think. I don't think it's any easier to do in terms of a vote. So think about it.
Yeah, exactly. None of it is easy to vote to raise revenue.
I still think that, you know, raising the gas tax to pay for road construction, bridge repair is going to be incredibly challenging. I think it is. The lockbox certainly was a step in the right direction. I think it sets the stage for what undoubtedly has to happen. I mean, we're not going to repair roads in Illinois until we find a sustainable revenue source, and that all points toward the motor fuel tax. I haven't seen any viable alternative. But when it comes to vertical construction, you're right, Rick. It's a more difficult proposition because there isn't a recurring source today for those things that everyone can agree to. So we've been led by the governor's office over the last couple of months now for caucuses, bipartisan between the House and the Senate. We meet at least once a week. In the Senate, it's Chairman Marty Sandoval, who chairs the Senate Transportation Committee. Myself, I chair one of the two budget committees, and Senator Toy Hutchinson from the South Suburbs, who chairs the Revenue Committee. We represent our caucus, and it's pretty simple. We go in the room, and we discuss options. We're preparing a menu of things that we could take eventually, I think, to our leadership and to the governor. And hopefully we can come up with a revenue package that invests in schools, invests in deferred maintenance on state facilities, which is actually the lack of having funding to address deferred maintenance is addressing in a negative way our operations budget, and invest in higher education, which I think is critical in terms of keeping students here in Illinois. So eventually we're going to see some revenue package, but it's going to be a difficult, difficult lift for the legislature.
Yeah, I mean, at least with the motor fuel tax, not that it makes it any easier, but the fact is that in some respects it is a user fee.
It is.
What is the equivalent when it comes to, you know, to taking care of billions of dollars of backlog in deferred maintenance? What's the equivalent of a user fee for that?
Yeah, there isn't one. And that right there, I think, puts it in very simple and plain terms at what the challenge is for any potential capital bill beyond just road and bridge repair. But I will tell you this. Our discussions have been incredibly bipartisan. And if you look at both Illinois Jobs Now under Governor Quinn and then Illinois First under Governor Ryan, I was actually a staffer. I'm dating myself
right
here, Rick, but I was actually a staffer in the Senate. I think that was my first year on the Senate staff working for then Minority Leader Emil Jones. On the budget staff when Illinois First came together under
you
Governor
go back
Ryan.
You go back that far?
I go back that far, man. It's hard to believe in it. But that was a bipartisan bill, as was Illinois Jobs Now. Christine Rodonio, the Republican leader in the Senate at the time, under Governor Quinn, worked well with President John Cullerton. And I don't think that's any different this time around. I think this has to be something that's embraced by both sides of the aisle, because if there's one thing that can unite different parties and those of us on different points in the political spectrum, it ought to be infrastructure investment. And I think to the governor, Governor Pritzker has led bipartisan talks, and I think that's a major step in the right direction, and I think that's the only way this gets done, frankly.
Does it get done as one package? I mean, roads and vertical, or is it get split up?
Well, I think that remains to be seen, but I'm of the opinion that we have to do all of it. I mean, we can't...
If nobody wants to get left behind, you know, if you do one side and don't do the other.
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge, is how do we balance all of these needs with limited amounts of resources to pay for them. First of all, Mary Sue Barrett from the Metropolitan Planning Council last Monday, when we had our Capitol hearing in Chicago, she made a very, very appropriate point, which is we should first measure the cost of an action. So what if we go another 10 years without investing in roads and bridges and our higher education institutions? It's going to be devastating beyond, I think, anything we can measure today if we don't do this year, if we don't get something comprehensive passed and signed into law this first year. So I'm glad she made that point at the beginning of our hearing, because that's a very, very relevant point to the conversation. Moving beyond that, I think that underscores why we have to do all of the above. I mean, this makes so much sense. It employs people. We have to make sure that it employs people in places in the state that have high unemployment. We have to make sure that female-owned and minority-owned businesses are very much an integral piece of this capital bill, too. That's been a focus of our hearings in the Senate. But we have to move forward, and it has to be comprehensive in nature.
We're speaking with Democratic State Senator Andy Menar of Bunker Hill in South Central Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio, joined by Democratic State Senator Andy Menar, Bunker Hill. We've been talking about prospects for an infrastructure bill that not only includes roads and bridges and transportation, but also as far as taking care of all of the deferred maintenance on state facilities, the needs of higher education after some brutal years, budget years, without funding for higher ed, plus local school districts as well. But we do have a question from Ron about another transportation project. Ron, welcome as always to the Sunday Spin.
Yes, good morning, Rick. Senator, there are 54 elected officials in the state that support appropriations of $150 million for the South Suburban Airport project. I wanted to get your position on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. South Suburban, the third airport in Piatone.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ron. So we haven't heard from let me back up real quick. We've had, I think we're up to seven or eight hearings around the state. We have one more coming up in Springfield. There was one on Friday in Lake County, one last Monday in Chicago. To my knowledge, we haven't heard from any formal proposal from either a group or a group of elected officials, public or private, about a formal request for investment in the South Suburban Airport. But the last time I checked, I think the state cumulatively has spent about just shy of $100 million, I think, over about two decades on the South Suburban Airport in terms of developing a concept, purchasing land, all of the things that have to happen before construction begins.
Senator, I think I know what Ron's talking about. Congresswoman Robin Kelly led this list of elected officials that also included House Speaker Michael Madigan. That's said that they're all supportive of a $150 million capital commitment here.
Yeah, and I think here's where I think this is why a capital bill is so important. What we could use in this capital bill is the money that, for example, is raised for road and bridge construction could be used for improving approaches to where the airport is located, making sure that I-57 is in the shape that it needs to be in, that would help grow whatever is going to happen on the location. Things like that could easily be put into a bill like this. We have to, of course, balance all of those needs. But having so many elected officials, both on the state, local, and also on the federal level with Congresswoman Kelly, of course, is going to be helpful to any project. But this underscores, I think, why we need a capital bill. Without doubt, development of a third airport is going to help not just the Chicagoland area, but the state as a whole. Because, you know me, Rick, I'm of the opinion that what helps the downstate community helps the state as a whole, and what helps the Chicago land area or the city of Chicago helps the state as a whole as well.
That's absolutely right. Senator, I'd want to shift gears from infrastructure to what occurred in the Senate last week with the passage and moving to the House of the proposed state constitutional amendment for a graduated rate income tax. And coupled with that were a couple of issues that the Senate did. One was the issue of if certain conditions are met, including obviously passage of a graduated rate income tax increase proposal to change the Constitution, if that were done, that could lead to a school property tax freeze.
Yeah, that was a bill that I sponsored, and the approach here is exactly how you described it, Rick. But first, let me say that this is a continued effort in the state Senate to force the conversation about property tax rates in the state of Illinois and all parts of the state. So the bill is quite simple. It says that if the fair tax is approved by voters, which we have to remind ourselves, the only way we change our tax structure and get rid of the flat tax in Illinois, which is regressive in nature, and change to a progressive system is if the voters of the state approve it. So if that happens, and if we fully fund the new progressive school funding formula, which drives resources to the most underfunded districts first, I was proud to shepherd that through the legislature as well. And here's the new piece. If we fund the mandated programs that we put on school districts, and we kind of call those, as you said, mandated categoricals, if we do those three things, then school districts would not be allowed to raise their property tax rate, not their extension, but their rate itself. So this, to me, is something that we have to address sooner or later, property taxes. We have to address the issue of property taxes in Illinois sooner or later. I liken this to how school funding reform went, Rick, and you've seen this over the years. We went years and years and years and years and years in the legislature without having a single bill, a for real bill proposed to address the inequities, the worst in the nation system that we had in Illinois. Then we had a flurry of bills, and that flurry of bills forced the conversation and forced a compromise. That's what we have to do with property taxes, and this is the latest step in that effort. I think it's a sound proposal, and I would hope that the House would give it a fair shake, and I would hope that we can make some piece of property tax relief part of our final tax package.
Well, and I've talked to Senate President Cullerton. I've talked to you, and the issue of basically making the state budget, education budget, passed by the General Assembly, almost a referendum on whether there should be a property tax freeze.
It would be, and I would welcome that. You know, that scares some folks.
Well, that's
in the legislature.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to ask you, because when you spoke on the Senate floor, and as did Senate President Cullerton, about kind of inclusiveness in this discussion of property taxes with the General Assembly, there's a lot of folks that don't want that inclusiveness because they can just push it off and say property taxes. Oh, that's the locals. They decide that. We don't do that.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of finger pointing. I think that's how I would sum it up. And I think we have to acknowledge, because it's true, that when the legislature and the governor, whoever's in office, doesn't fund schools appropriately, there is a corresponding burden that's placed on property taxpayers in the state. So let's do the opposite. Let's do the opposite of that. And let's turn this ship in the other direction. We can do that because because we have put in a progressive system of school funding in the state, where we're driving resources to the most underfunded districts, and by almost nearly every account, that is working incredibly well around the state. There's stability and certainty in school funding in Illinois, Rick. I mean, whoever thought we would get there? And then if we have a an appropriate reform approved by the voters of our tax code, we can steer this ship in the other direction. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. We're not going to, you know, change the system overnight, because it took us decades to get where we are with property taxes. But certainly we can stop the progression that we're on today, and we can turn the ship in the other direction. And over time, the state will become the predominant source for funding public education, and the property taxpayer will become less predominant. And sooner or later, eventually, we will be in the norm in the country. That's what this bill is designed to do.
That's Democratic State Senator Andy Menar from Bunker Hill. Senator Menar, as always, thank you for joining me on the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Rick.